The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. This is the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, online at WTK.com. Coming up in just a little bit, we get to the countdown of the 2021 Michigan football season. We're counting down to September 4th when the Wolverines host Western Michigan at Michigan Stadium. We also get to the recruiting roundup around 7:45. The Towny Top 3, which is going to hit at one of the biggest news stories of the day, sports news stories of the day. We'll get to that coming up at around 8:45. And in fact, it's not just the biggest, one of the biggest sports news stories. It's just a big news story. It was in the top section of the evening news last night. So we'll get to that in just a moment, what that big headline is. And we'll talk about that headline and more with our friend Eric Adelson coming up at 9:05. And for those that haven't heard the news, Eric Adelson entered the transfer portal, not literally, and he is transferring from the University of Florida as a professor to Central Florida as a professor, which brings him a lot closer to home. UCF is in Orlando, and obviously he lives in Orlando, and UF is in Gainesville. So we'll talk to Eric Adelson about that shift, but even more so about the top sports story of the day, which was yesterday's Supreme Court's unanimous decision, 9-0. A 9-0 decision by the Supreme Court yesterday unanimously affirmed a ruling that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated. Basically, this opens the door for future more compensation. Now, in the opinion itself, Neil Gorsuch wrote the opinion, and it was a very narrow ruling, and it kept it very much focused on education-related benefits. It didn't go any further than that, but Justice Kavanaugh published his concurring opinion that went a lot stronger, and he had a lot of lines in there that like, the NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. That came from his from the additional concurring opinion that was published by Justice Kavanaugh. So this is big news. Now, this is not automatically opening the door for athletes being paid. It's just the next step in the process. But what it's going to do is it's going to make the process go quicker. And it's amazing. And we've talked about this with John Ubakin, who we know loves talking about the NCAA. We've talked about this with EA and with many others. It's a pretty remarkable thing. The NCAA can do in this country what almost nobody else can do. Think about that. The NCAA, and I'm going to tell you what that is in a moment. The NCAA has a power that almost nobody else in the country can do. This country is very divided, whether it's who we root for in sports or who we vote for in politics or in many other aspects in life. We are a very divided, very opinionated and fragmented country. I mean, it's true. Like, we may be friends with people, you know, that cross over those things, but our opinions, right, Republicans and Democrats, or Buckeyes and Wolverines, Spartans and Wolverines, right, Auburn, Alabama, there's a lot of division. Again, some is a lot less serious than others, but we have a lot of division in this country. The NCAA has brought together Republicans and Democrats. It has brought together rival fans. It's brought together bitter enemies. I mean, the NCAA has accomplished something that pretty much nobody else has been able to accomplish. It's a pretty remarkable thing. Now, a 9-0 Supreme Court ruling where you have justices that are considered liberal and considered conservative that are agreeing. You have the NCAA that was taking this, you know, they were going to the Supreme Court hoping that the conservative majority of the Supreme Court would side with them. But conservative generally means open market too. And open market does not include not paying your athletes. This is the NCAA. It's an amazing thing. Now, I don't think that the NCAA can help and unify us in almost anything else. But in this conversation, not everybody's on board. It's not 100%. I get that. There are still people that clamor for the quote-unquote college amateur model that's going away. It's going away very quickly. You're going to have NIL in place this summer in some places, by next summer pretty much everywhere else. And within the next few years, again, this does not necessarily lead to athletes being paid, but it allows for increases in more compensation from the schools. And we'll see what the next steps are that the conferences each take, that the schools take, as it sounds like they can increase even more what they give to the student athletes when it comes to, again, educational opportunities. So studying abroad, you can pay for that. laptops for school and iPads. You don't just have to, like, maybe that little a loaner, but you can give them those supplies. Those really expensive, crazy calculators that you need for what, high level engineering and probably high level math level classes. Those, I know back in the day they were like TI-81s. I have no idea what we're up to now. It's probably like TI-590. But whatever those calculators are, they're not cheap. But you can buy them for the athletes now and not, you know, loan them or have someone, you know, just as a borrow. That's what this ruling starts with. The ruling starts with the academic side of things, the educational side of things, and it eliminates all restrictions. So more, I assume that means that you can have more money as a part of granted aid. But we'll see again how the conferences react. I'm not sure we care how the NCAA reacts because the NCAA, I think they somehow thought yesterday was a win. The NCAA is, they're being slowly chipped away at the, you know, the foundation of the NCAA. It's slowly being chipped away. And yet they still think that they're winning. It's Mark Emmert is a, I'd love to be as delusional as him and his make as much money as that guy. That would be, my life would be so much easier, I think. If you could be really delusional and really rich, and for that matter, someone there to do your hair and makeup, that's a pretty good deal. So that's the top story of the day. Supreme Court making that decision. The, again, the narrow scope of the actual ruling, but then also the additional reading that goes along with it. The, that was written by Kavanaugh, excuse me, that will be, I think that will be the concurring opinion that I think is going to be part of the things that you're going to hear a lot more about because he takes a lot stronger language. And that stronger language is the stuff that most people at this point in time, those that are very anti-NCAA, they're going to seize upon that very strong language. Like, as I said, would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. That was one quote. I sent another one to John Bacon yesterday because it was just so spot on. This line was, while the NCAA devotes most of its energy to resisting the rule of reason in its usual form, ... I mean, they nailed it. Both the, if you want to look at the narrow ruling and what was written by Gorsuch, and then if you want to read the concurring opinion by Kavanaugh, you'll read these quotes. I mean, it's strong. And so NCAA, it's not that the NCAA is going to go away. It's going to be, I think that within the next few years now, it's really been put in the position where it is going to be nearly a total restructuring because you're now going to have enforcement's going to be so different. And so I don't know what that's going to look like, but you know what? Hey, I don't make enough money to have to worry about that. But you know who really doesn't know what it looks like? Mark Emmert. And he does make enough money to have to worry about what it's going to look like. But here we are. The NCAA has been dragging their feet for, it seems like, forever, probably over 100 years, right? And every time that they finally have to do something, eventually it gets there. And we'll see if, we'll see how quickly the powers that be within the NCAA and within the individual conferences start making up more, start adjusting to more, absolutely more rules as we continue along. But that's the top sports story. And really, as I said, it's one of the top news stories of the day. It was in the opening segment of the evening news last night. It wasn't the lead story. There were some other lead stories over that, but the Supreme Court makes a big decision is a top story in the and not just in sports news, but in news in general. And so we're going to be continuing to follow along with what happens as the 115-year-old organization, the NCAA, is 115 years old. And whether it can stay as the NCAA or if it gets completely blown up, remember, it's a members organization. The members make the rules. The members now can follow SCOTUS. The members can follow what Congress is, you know, will push. The NCAA, the member institutions can follow. So not only the Supreme Court, but Congress, but also their each individual states. And they'll be able to act on this maybe a little bit quicker. So we'll follow that along. We'll be talking about it throughout the morning. And as I said, we'll get into it a little bit with Rich Reddy and definitely get into it with Eric Idelson this morning here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. But also today is ping pong day, ping pong ball day, I should say. Today is a day of the NBA draft lottery, ping pong ball day. And I know that a lot of people are really excited to see what could potentially happen with the Pistons. And so I was looking this up because I was trying to, Sam and I were talking about this, right? How no lower than falling sixth, right? So the Rockets, Pistons, and Magic had the three worst records in the league. They all have a 14% chance of having the first pick, a 13.4% chance of landing the second pick, a 12.7% chance of landing the third pick. And then as you go through, They all three have an 11.9% chance of having the fourth pick. The Rockets actually have a 47.9% chance of having the fifth pick, because that's the remaining odds. The Pistons, those odds are split between the fifth and the sixth picks. They cannot fall below six. They have 27.8% odds on the fifth pick and 20.1% odds on the sixth pick. It's a remarkable thing. And this is, I think, that really is the pet peeve. And we were kind of talking about this yesterday. Should your best odds, now I understand that their odds are better, you know, their odds of getting first, second, or third are better than any other team's chances of getting first, second, or third. So I get that that's true, but the Rockets, Pistons, and Magic, their odds of getting, except for the Thunder and the Cavaliers, but the top three teams, their chances of getting fourth better than the Thunder getting fourth. Better than the Thunder getting. The odds are, fourth and then fifth. And the odds continue, right? So for the, just to me, they should be higher odds. The Rockets, Pistons, and Magic should each have like 20% chance of getting the first pick or 22% chance of getting the first pick. And the odds should dwindle from there. Maybe someday the NBA will adjust that. But as I said, the Rockets, the Pistons, the Magic, 14% chance to get the first pick, 13.4% chance for the second pick, 12.7% chance for the third pick, and then the Pistons, the odds go down for the fourth pick at 11.9. But then there should be more odds. And Sam, I think this is where I was really studying the numbers yesterday. I get putting the bottom teams there, but shouldn't the Rockets, Pistons, and Magic each have like 22% chance?
Yes.
Because why should... Yes. Why should the Pistons have a 27.8% chance of having the fifth pick or a 20% chance of having the sixth pick, which means they have much greater odds of landing at fifth or sixth than first, second, or third? Now, you combine first, second, and third together, the odds are better, which is right. What the league's doing to give you, say, better odds. But you should have individually, you could tell I was really looking at these yesterday on your behalf, because as the ping pong balls are going to start flying later. The Rockets, Sam, have a 47.9% chance of picking fifth. They should have the best odds of picking first, second, and third combined. It's totally ridiculous. As I looked at these odds and started breaking it down, it just makes no sense to me. Other than it allows for what you talk about, it just allows for the belief of corruption, and then it's rigged.
They have been so freaked out by the idea of tanking that they've overcorrected. That they have taken a concept that I think on its face is the right one, that you should be trying to help those teams that are worse. And I miss me with all of the, well, just draft better. Maybe those teams at the bottom are at the bottom in part because they have guys, they have front office people that aren't the best, that really don't know what they're doing as far as maybe they need the assist. Maybe they need to have a helping hand and have some picks that everyone knows. This is who you should pick. Everyone knows. Cade Cunningham is the number one pick. Most people figure Evan Mobley is the number two pick, right? One of the Jaylens is the number three pick. You have some front offices that need to be in that position where it's a no-brainer pick. And you might say, okay, well, listen, those franchises just need to hire better. I got it. I get it. And you're right. But so the fans should just suffer. The fans of that franchise should just suffer while these people in those positions wind up taking the wrong guy. Now you might say, well, hey, eventually it will correct itself. No, just look at, did the Philadelphia 76ers correct themselves? The process was implemented. The person who implemented the process is not the general manager anymore. It corrected. They kept getting high picks. It corrected because eventually the franchise said, you know what? This is taking too long. So you don't have to wait for them to keep taking the wrong guy. Eventually, if they're at the top of the draft year after year after year, they get broomed out. But don't punish the fans of the team by a team with the second worst record in the NBA, the Pistons. Hey, they have the potential to be the sixth pick in the draft. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the. Yeah, I'm not a fan of how the numbers actually work themselves out. I didn't want to dive too deeply into this to get you too worked up in the morning, obviously, because the top story of the morning and the top story that we're going to get into for the most part is the Supreme Court NCAA one. We'll get to the countdown in a little bit, but I was looking at those numbers and I understand the breakdown somewhat, and I get the idea of trying to not allow for tanking, but at the grand, at the end of the day, tanking is a strategy, and teams that tank are not really tanking for more than a couple years if they do it right. And as you said, if they do it wrong, the people that are doing it get broomed out anyway. Let the self-selection. I think that now maybe it's 30 something years later, but time for the lottery to go. You don't need to. You can figure out who the top, what was it, 12 or 14, whatever it is, picks are going to be, top 14 picks when the season ends. And if there's two teams that have tied records and they head-to-head is tied, if you want to flip a coin or do a lottery, then fine for those two teams. I don't really care. But the lottery has lived it past its life. You don't need to rig it for the Knicks anymore. And you don't have tanking is a 2-3 year process at the most. Well, some of these teams have been bad for more than 2 or 3 years because it's not about tanking. It's about bad general managers and bad leadership. So get rid of the lottery. I'm done with it.
Right. And look, arranging the draft process so a team can't tank, it does not curtail ineptitude. It doesn't. It just doesn't. You're acting like, oh, so we're going to do this lottery. And so now teams aren't going to try to lose. So they have to make good faith effort. They have to reward their fans, and somehow they're just gonna draft better.
Yeah, all of a sudden,
just draft better. Yeah. No,
all of a sudden the Cavaliers are gonna have better management.
Right, come on, man. I wish it worked that way. Fortunately, I believe in the Pistons front office now. So
yeah, 366th day or whatever on the job. This is the first day of year two for Troy Weaver, and as you've gone through one bad move, which is costly, but you can overcome that pretty quickly with your next draft. But that's the point. The Pistons had a previous regime. They did poorly. They got swept out. You bring in a new regime, and they seem like they're doing better, and so you give them a chance to do what they're doing. It's not that they were tanking. They're just not very good. They're rebuilding. But, I mean, you can call it tanking if you want. I just like to call it rebuilding because that's what teams do.
That's a great point, Ira. And the problem with this model is they equate the two.
Yeah, because some teams rebuild in perpetuity. Yeah, the teams that rebuild in perpetuity aren't tanking, just like the teams that want to rebuild in 3 years. It's just, Houston dumped all their players because it wasn't working. So, like, all right, well, we're going to reshuffle. It's going to take us a couple years. You can call it tanking if you want. You could call it rebuilding or retooling, too. It's just, now, they seem to have a better track record over the last 20 years than, say, the Cavaliers to do it, so I don't expect to see Houston there very long. But it remains to be seen.
Yeah, I know you, and we'll get back to the Supreme Court a little bit later on, but man, I felt like, wow, they've been listening to the show. How long have I been saying these things?
Sam, the NCAA, forget that the Supreme Court, and I said this already, I'm going to probably say this a lot today moving to the future. Forget the actual what we'll get into, the meat of what they said. The NCAA unifies Republicans and Democrats, Buckeyes and Wolverines, Auburn and Alabama fans,
crazy.
The most bitter of enemies, the simplest of rivals, and Republicans and Democrats have all pretty much been unified by the NCAA. So Mark Emmert has done one thing great in his job, Sam. The rest is terrible. But he's the only thing, he's like the only guy that can kind of unify this country. It's kind of sad because it's really against him as opposed to like but still, it's he's done it. Give him credit.
Crazy. We got to get to a break. Countdown on the other side. Much, much more as well throughout the show. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the Ticket.